The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome to Friday, the day after the big news from Destin about where the SEC is going at least next year. The reaction has come in from everywhere. No divisions. That's really the big story, but it got buried in the avalanche of debate about what happens next. Eight games. That's the deal. No divisions. And there's certainly a lot of conversation on that. I've looked hard and long today, looking at all the different reaction, and you know, most of it from the national pundits is fairly negative, which is fine. The SEC folks are pretty content with the success of four straight national championships, 13 out of the last 17. You heard all that from the commissioner as he joined us both Wednesday and last night after the announcement. But the criticism will rain on. We'll try to get into it tonight with a number of different people, figuring what it really means. But most important, where are we going next? Let's move on with Heather Dinich. Heather, thank you. Appreciate it. Your reaction and what are you hearing? And then we'll ask you about the big question, how it relates to the CFP. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My reaction was boo, go to nine games. I mean, that's what I want to see. I'm a college football fan. You got two premier teams coming in, two brand name programs in Oklahoma and Texas, and it's just going to be difficult. I think you want to see more marquee matchups, and so play more of them. And, you know, if you're going to mandate a schedule for another Power Five conference, I think that's smart and that's helpful. But the reality is that it's every conference is imbalanced, right? And so part of the issue here is even when you're playing another Power Five conference, you could be playing a bottom tier team from that league. That's a less desirable matchup from an entertainment fan perspective, and quite frankly, meaningful matchup. So I don't know. So we'll stick with the status quo for another year. But to be fair, and to your point, the SEC has figured it out. They've mastered how to get into the college football playoff. Not once, not twice, but all the time, and sometimes with two teams. And that could very well happen again this year.
And Heather, I think the SEC moguls already have the schedule. It won't come out for 2 weeks. That may be TV programming. I have no idea. But they're smart people. You know them. And they know what the criticism is today, and they don't seem all that concerned, which makes me believe that we are going to figure out a way, or they are going to figure out a way, to get a number of those matchups in the first year, because they're in the same business everyone else is. They're trying to leverage worth. And it's hard to imagine them not wanting to provide their new exclusive partner next year, your boss at ESPN, better programming.
Right. And that makes sense for everyone. But as we continue to talk about conference expansion and realignment throughout college athletics, the SEC and the Big Ten are facing similar issues that everyone else is in terms of, as you add more teams, the inventory between those great blue blood programs, that kind of shrinks, right? I mean, you can only have so many LSU Alabama games. That's the reality of it. At the end of the day, there are still my alma mater, the Indianas of the world, in the mix. And so how many of those games are television partners, whether it's ESPN or Fox or whoever you want to throw out, want to pay buku dollars for when they're not the LSU and Alabama games? And I think the more teams that you bring in, the more you ask that question, because it just gets watered down at some point.
Yeah, and I'm really eager. Once we see the eight games, we'll then be able to figure out what maybe that ninth game would have looked like. I'm guessing, I don't know about you, that it probably wasn't all that great. But let me get to the bigger question. I asked Greg Sankey about this, and he responded in relation to the CFP question by reminding the audience about the last CFP game, 65-7. You know that committee. You're out there all the time. What do you think the impact of this decision, playing 8 versus 9, will mean next year when the committee expands and the playoff expands to 12 schools?
I don't think it's going to change the selection committee's approach to how they evaluate these teams, which is strength of schedule is going to continue to be a key component of the evaluation. And, you know, I'll use the Ohio State-Notre Dame game last year as an example again, because that's a non-conference matchup, much like Texas and Alabama, that's played early in the season that continues to resonate through selection day, because Notre Dame managed to continue to be a top 25 team and stay relevant. So that helps Ohio State even when they don't win their own division or their own conference. Now, obviously, the picture is going to change, because in a 12-team playoff, it's going to be the 6th highest-ranked conference champions. So that takes a little bit of pressure, obviously, off of the conference champions. But the point is that they're still going to look at those non-conference matchups as critical to the determination between teams that are in and teams that are left out. That's not going to change.
Chatting with Heather Dinich about all these things. Heather, I know in the summertime when you have a little, when you're not flying all over the country, you actually are flying all over the country doing reporting. We talked to you a couple of months ago. You were in Auburn and Alabama and other places. I understand you've been spending some time in the Big Ten, especially most recently at Penn State.
That's right, Paul. I had a chance to visit with James Franklin at Penn State, and I also saw Ryan Day at Ohio State. And I think the Big Ten East is going to be one of the most fascinating races to watch in college football, because if Penn State's new quarterback, he hasn't named it yet, but most people and are thinking that it's going to be Drew Aller, who is a highly recruited prospect, but he also got in 10 games last year. If he can be, he doesn't have to be great, but if he can be good enough to play at an elite level, there's enough talent surrounding him that this could be James Franklin's best team since 2016 when they won the Big Ten. So, Paul, I think that they have the potential to create a three-way tie with Ohio State and Michigan. I think they can knock off one of those two teams. They have not defeated them both, but Penn State could definitely have playoff potential this year.
And what about Ohio State, which, you know, some people believe is the most talented team in the country? We quarterback questions there as well. What do you know?
Well, to me, Paul, what separates Ohio State and Michigan, they're two different teams. Like, when you talk about Ohio State, you've got that razzle-dazzle offense. I mean, we are talking about elite talent, Marvin Harrison Jr., and all of those guys. Kyle McCord, if he's the quarterback, whoever it might be, has an amazing supporting cast around him. Can the defense take another step under Jim Knowles? That's going to be critical. And it's not like they were bad last year, but don't give up so many big plays. You know, I was in his office, I talked to Jim Knowles, and I'll never forget this, on his desk next to his computer was stress relief tea. And I kind of looked at him and, you know, that kind of sums it up where he was. But he was very cognizant of the fact that they've got to get better, and he thinks that they're in a position to do that. But the difference between them and Michigan is Michigan has these veteran guys, and it's the experience there. And J.J. McCarthy at quarterback, and we saw what they were able to do down the stretch, and Blake Corum returning at running back. So I'm going with Michigan early to win the Big Ten right now because of that, because of J.J. McCarthy, but I reserve the right to get smarter, Paul.
We always get smarter. Me especially, when Heather joins us. Heather, thank you. We will see you very soon. Heather Dinich joining us from ESPN. We are only beginning here on this Friday afternoon as we are swimming into June. Michael Bratton is back. Oh, my goodness. That sets up for an exciting afternoon. Barrett will join us, and Steve Berkowitz a little bit later on, and your phone calls as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. The pundits are out like cockroaches in the night, opining about what the SEC did yesterday. And speaking of punditry, who better to bring in than Michael Bratton from that SEC podcast? Michael, it's always a real pleasure. I love these sessions with you. I just kick my feet up and grab some popcorn and let you have at it. So first of all, before I even ask you the prosaic, what did you think? What do you make out of all the punditry? You're a pundit in some respects. But there's a group of people that look like they just got out of we just found them in a cave somewhere and they discovered that World War II was over. I mean, the shots are being fired at Greg Sankey and the SEC. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know if you were exactly talking about me, Paul, when you said cockroach in the middle of the night, but that's one of the nicest things you ever said about me. But I'm joining the group. Paul, I mean, I'm not trying to overreact to this 8-game SEC schedule, but if they do not give us the matchups we want to see, and I'm specifically talking the likes of Texas for Texas A&M, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Auburn, I think fans have every right to be upset, not just the pundits, Paul, and I'll read you a quote from Commissioner Sankey at the start of the spring meetings here. A league at the forefront of college athletics does not stand still. This is a league at the forefront of college athletics. Well, they're not acting like it, Paul. They're truly not with this 8-game league schedule in 2024. And again, I'm trying not to overreact, but I think this is a black eye on the league. I really do. And to sit here and say, well, we got to see how this playoff committee is going to shake out and how are they going to evaluate the 12 teams. Well, Paul, as long as I've been following college football, these things are done by a strength of schedule. And the SEC, their strength of schedule is not going to stack up to many of these other leagues if they continue to stay at 8. So I just don't understand it when you're adding Texas and Oklahoma and not expanding how many games, conference games we're going to be playing. I think it's a huge mistake.
Do we still have Michael? Did we lose contact? I thought when he said black eye of the SEC, we lost our Wi-Fi connection with his situation. Michael, I love people that give honest takes, and you certainly do. The one thing I'm curious about, and I think on the afternoon of the 15th, if we're all disappointed, I hope you'll be back, and you will have been right. I have an inverted theory. I think they already know the schedule because they've been working on it for 2 years. I mean, there should be no mystery about what we are going to see. Now, that was more with a 9-game schedule. But I'm going to give Greg Sankey and his group the benefit of the doubt. I think they are really smart people. And if they don't give us what you said, they know the walls are going to come tumbling down. So I don't want to say, hey, wait and see. I hate that phrase. It's cliche. But I'm betting on them getting it right.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you, Paul, and that's why I'm not overreacting today. But like you said, I'll go nuclear June 15th. If the 14th, I'm looking forward to this schedule release. They should have been doing this years ago. Many people, myself included, have been calling for it. So credit to your employer. But Paul, I know you're in an awkward spot, so I'll say it for you. I mean, it's laughable to me to say that money is not the ultimate driving force behind this. And I understand that, and I understand it from all sides. So I'm not necessarily calling anybody out here, but this is kind of the corner that the SEC has painted themselves into, going all in with one network to where, hey, ESPN's got the contracts. Why should they give more just because you added two of the top 10 programs in the country, arguably, and better matchups? It's a difficult spot, Paul, and I think fans are the ones potentially that are going to be hurt, because I think what's going to happen, I think the SEC will get the money they want from ESPN, but ESPN's not going to just give it to them. They're going to ask for things, and that's potentially going to be Thursday night games, Paul. Fans are not going to be happy with that. Friday night games, God forbid, let's hope we don't go down that road, but I almost can guarantee you, Paul, that there will be conference games on ESPN Plus to get people to sign up for that product. It's a fine product, Paul, but we're used to seeing Alabama, Austin Peay, Ole Miss, Furman on ESPN Plus. I think we're going to get conference games there if they want more money for this product. And again, I think it's the fans that suffer.
Listen, I'm a host. Everybody knows where the company I work for. And I will tell you, Michael, if I had any earthly idea what they were thinking, because I genuinely believe they are a big part of this story. And a lot of people won't say that, but I will. ESPN played a role in all this. They may not have played a role directly, but everybody knows what's going on here. And I think the commissioners for nine games, you know that. The only person I know that has gone 9-8 is Nick Saban. I'm curious what you think of what he did, because he wasn't just a flag waver. I remember the first time he brought it up, I think it was 2010 or 11. It may have been on our show. And he put that flag down, and he wanted to fight about it. And now, suddenly, when he saw the schedule, Michael, he didn't like the fact that LSU and Tennessee were among his on his permanent rivals list.
Well, Paul, I hate to be that guy and say I told you so, but I've been saying it for about a year and a half. It looks to me like Nick Saban's afraid of the competition. He's running for the hills because Kirby Smart and Georgia are taking over the SEC. And I think that's a short-sighted approach, Paul, because last time I checked, Alabama plays LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn every year. And I realize we're getting away with the divisions. So maybe he was hoping to escape those top-tier programs facing his decaying Alabama program, I should say. But the thing that he's overlooking is we're getting away from the SEC West. We all know that's the toughest division in all of college football. And if they got to play LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn, well, guess what, Paul? They get to drop A&M. They get to drop Ole Miss. They get to drop Arkansas and insert Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Missouri. So at the end of the day, I think it all evens out, and it's not just Nick Saban having to face these three teams. It's the entire league. So I think he needs to get with the program, and that to me is just another sign that there's fear in Nick Saban's voice.
Talking to Michael Bratton here from that SEC podcast. Where's my next question here? After that, I don't know where to go. Michael, there's so much you said there that we could talk the rest of the afternoon and the rest of our lives on, but I will turn the page in terms of where we are going next. Media days will be around the corner. You said Nick Saban, you used the word fear. You talked about his decaying program. If his program is moving out, not to steal a line from Billy Joel, who's moving in?
Feel like I started this trend on your show, Paul, and I haven't backed down from it. It's Brian Kelly and it's LSU. And I would be so bold as to say, Paul, I'm already on record. I like LSU to win the West. I think LSU is going to find a way to win the SEC, to win the national championship this season. I think they're that caliber. Just they exceeded expectations to such a degree last season. If they can continue that progress, one of only two SEC programs that return the starting quarterback and the offensive coordinator. I think that offense is going to be something to be reckoned with, and I realize they have to play in Tuscaloosa, but LSU, for whatever reason, has had a lot of luck in Tuscaloosa. Well, not a lot, but more than many. So I don't think Brian Kelly is afraid of going and taking his LSU team into Tuscaloosa and coming out of there with a win.
I don't want to be that guy because I heard you, and my hearing is still pretty good, but I want to make sure the audience heard you. You just got through saying not only is LSU moving past Alabama, you think they're moving past Georgia, and you think LSU is going to win the national championship. Did I hear you correctly?
That's true, Paul. And I wouldn't necessarily say LSU is just surpassing Georgia as a program.
We're talking about this season, though, correct? You're picking LSU to win the national championship in 23.
I am, yes, Paul. And I don't know exactly, the path to doing that. Will both Georgia and LSU make the playoff? I think that is certainly a realistic possibility as well. But, yeah, I like LSU to win it all this fall. I think Georgia has lost some pieces. I think they're going to cakewalk to Atlanta. Let's just be clear on that. This is not a you know, me downgrading Kirby Smart and company, they're probably the second best team in the country this year. But give me LSU to continue to make those strides under Brian Kelly. He came down here to the SEC, to Baton Rouge, to win that elusive national championship. I think he gets it probably a year ahead of schedule, year two.
Michael Bratton, always delivering heavy artillery on this program. Michael, hope to see you soon. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Paul.
You bet. We have a lot to talk about over these next 3.5 hours. Phone number is 855-242-7285, and we are coming back with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Herb Street apparently high on LSU as well in an interview with On3. Also believes Alabama might win it all, might win the SEC. So this is a time for opinions and for people being wrong. We welcome all of you back. Let's get some reaction to all of what we've heard so far from Heather and Michael. John starts us off in Ohio. Hello, John.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Do you think when people talk about Nick Saban is not Nick Saban anymore and Kirby Smart's taken over, do you think that they don't consider the fact that Nick Saban's coaching staff gets picked apart every year? How many offensive coordinators has he went through in the last, 10 years? Kirby still has his. His coaching, nobody's messed with his coaching.
Hey, hold on a second. Kirby has lost his defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator in consecutive years.
Okay, but Kirby was once with Nick,
John, Nick Saban has gone through this 1,000 times. I mean, he has lost both coordinators and won the national championship the next year, so I hardly think that's an excuse.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I mean, I don't think no one should sleep on Nick.
Anyone who does is foolish because he's proven people wrong often. Yeah. The question now is that there are those, and I think we just got a pretty heavy dose of Michael Bratton writing Nick Saban off.
That's crazy. That's insane. But thanks for having me, Paul.
Whether it's insane or not, it's an opinion, and pundits have opinions. And if they don't have opinions, they're not pundits very much longer. That's what you have to understand. This is the new media and medium. If you're a pundit and you give a lot of wishy-washy answers, nobody pays attention to you. Truth is up next. Good afternoon. Truth, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, Paul. Yeah, I called in today because I feel like I'm painfully aware of why the move to nine games failed and why we have eight games. I don't hear anybody sharing my perspective, so I've called in to share it, okay?
Please.
Yes, sir. Okay. So I remember very well in 92 when the conference expanded, and, hey, this is deja vu all over again. Every school was concerned about being put at a competitive disadvantage or another team having a competitive disadvantage. Ultimately, we decided that the six power schools would be divided equally with three in each division, and that had been traditionally the power in football, and the others were divided equally, and it worked for a while. And then we played conference games every year, and nobody ever won the conference championship except those six teams: Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee. No one else has ever won it. Now we're in the same situation. Everybody's worried about protecting their competitive position, putting nobody else at a competitive advantage or them being at a disadvantage. Now, we know that that Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU cannot live without playing Alabama every year. But then when you divide up all the other teams, they get one of the cupcakes at the bottom of the league. It's exactly what Nick Saban tried to explain to you months ago. It seems no one was listening, but that's the situation. Like, why? And I look through I see the world through Bama lens, but why should Alabama be at a competitive disadvantage for their three mainstay opponents?
Yeah, Truth, listen, here's the deal. Thanks for the call. The SEC explained how they did it. They have a 10-year average. And for all of you who are upset about Tennessee has been absolutely abysmal these last 10 years. It's fairly evenly weighted. This isn't some algorithm. This is legitimately looking at a power structure. So I think we'll see in 2 weeks. There'll be a lot of reaction then. That's why I think people should see where we go, because I'm more interested not so much in who everyone is playing on the 14th, is what games are we missing? Are we missing an Alabama-Oklahoma game? Or are we missing an Alabama-Vanderbilt game? Are we missing Tennessee and Texas? Or are we missing Tennessee and Mississippi State? Are we missing LSU and Oklahoma? Or LSU and South Carolina? I'm just throwing out. I mean, there are going to be odd games thrown into the mix when we and so often we don't know how good these teams are going to be. Who thought South Carolina was going to be on the run it was on? I mean, who would have believed at the beginning of the season last year that South Carolina cost Tennessee a playoff berth? I mean, that's how crazy sometimes these games are. Appreciate the call very, very much. Trey is in Arkansas, and you're on the air. Hello, Trey.
How you doing today, Paul?
Well, Trey, thank you.
All right. I'm calling in to tell Matt the only team that's going to get beat like a Cherokee drum on September 30th in Arlington Stadium is going to be the Aggies. They're going to cry. Alabama's going to wind up with, I think, two losses again. They're going to wind up with one. They're going to wind up with one and win the West. Also, I really like that SEC podcast. Arkansas will have 9 wins with a loss to LSU, Ole Miss, and Alabama.
Thank you very much, Trey. You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's check in with Randy next. Hey, Randy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you? I need to say a few things to you. How's the Gators on their quarterback in your position so far? Is there any difference or anybody better or about the same?
I don't think it's great. Based on what we hear, it looks like Graham Mertz, who has experience but hardly elite talent.
Okay. And the other one, I know it's basketball and everything, but now Castleton left, so he's a senior. Do you know anything? Have you heard anything about the center for next year for Florida basketball, Gator basketball, the center?
I have not, but I know plenty of people who cover that on a daily basis. We'll try to get you an answer quickly. Thank you very, very much. Zach is in Tennessee. Hello, Zach.
Paul, how's it going?
It's going great.
Paul, I'll tell you, I think I know how this is going to go, but what do you think about Tennessee and that 8-game schedule coming up? Who do you think they're going to get? What do you think their odds are going 12-0 are for next year and coming up?
I am not confident they can go undefeated. The great part is having Georgia at home. The bad part is having Alabama on the road. Other than that, I think there's A&M's on the schedule somewhere, I believe. Can't remember where game is. But
it's in Knoxville.
Okay. Well, I think Tennessee is close to unbeatable in Knoxville, but I don't think they'll be quite as good on the road as they were last year when that LSU game was just stupefying. I think Tennessee. I'm looking at 10-2. That may not satisfy everyone, but I think that's realistic considering the changes. We're up against the break. We'll grab some more phone calls here in a moment. 855-242-7285. More guests, including Barrett Salih, at the top of the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back taking your phone calls, and John in Plano, Texas, is up next.
Hi, Paul. Paul, as a University of Texas alumnus, I was a little bit disappointed with the 8-game schedule, but I agree with you that let's see what happens on June 14th. But I wanted to raise a point I haven't heard discussed, and I want your reaction to it. I think this deal of 8 games was designed for the SEC to get at least 4 teams into the playoffs. And the best way to do that was to say, play 8 games, and every team, if a team can win 5 of those 8, then win their 4 lesser games.
Right.
That's a 9-3 record, and that should get you into serious consideration to make the 12-game playoff, and that's why this was done. What's your impression?
I think you may be right. There's a lot of minutiae in the middle, but ultimately, that's how you are decided. We talk about basketball all the time. All the great games at the beginning of the season. Man, that guy really scheduled well. If he doesn't go far in the tournament, it really doesn't matter. And now college football is on the verge of being a tournament sport. And if the SEC gets 4 in the playoffs or even 3, then this will have been a good decision. I want thanks for the call. I understand the frustration. Yeah, we're fans. We want to see the best games. I think the SEC wanted to do that, but 9, according to the reports, 9 of the 6 of the 16 were against it. So we it's not hard to figure out who was against it because we've already heard who was for it. We know Georgia was for it. We know Texas A&M was for it. We know Texas was for it. The biggest surprise was Alabama. Alabama has been for the 9 games, and by when Alabama turned the other way, I think it gave cover to other schools. Thank you for the call. Dwayne is up next. Hello, Dwayne.
Paul Feinbaum, you had to listen to little Michael Bratton. I told you, Ben told you what LSU gonna do. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I was like, I say the third year we gonna win it all. I give Brian Kelly 3 years. Michael Bratton give him this year coming up. But we will be in the hunt. We will be in the hunt for it. But one thing I want to tell you, man, you need to stop lying to them Tennessee people, telling them people going 10-2. The people ain't going 10-2, man. Hey, that man ain't going to run that gimmick no more, man. That man running that people caught up to that gimmick in Tennessee, man.
Dwayne, that is not a gimmick.
Man, that's a gimmick, man. That man ran Josh. What that man name? What that coach name?
Josh Heupel.
Dice Harpo. That's a gimmick. You know that's a gimmick.
Hey,
that man
ain't
gonna beat nobody.
He
ain't gonna do that on the road. He ain't gonna go on the road like that no more.
Dwayne, are you still on the rig?
No. Yeah, I'm still out here. Oh, but okay. Hey, let me tell you another thing, too. Paul, I've seen you on Destin Beach. That's what I'm talking about like that. You need to get the fans, SEC fans, and represent their schools and do the same thing what you did on the beach with them coaches. You need to get the top fans and do the same thing down there in Destin, Florida or something. We need to do the same thing and show the other conference who the best conference in the the best conference in the world is the SEC football.
Dwayne, look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you. Susie is in Georgia. Hey, Susie.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Haven't talked to you in a while. I wanted to thank you, first of all, for the coverage this week that you had from Florida. I thought it was great. I know that, you know, a lot of callers didn't get in, but there was so much information given, and it was so well done. I was very impressed with, is it Clark Lee, Vanderbilt's coach?
Yes.
Is that his name? I just was very impressed with him as he was talking and what, you know, they're striving for and all that. I thought that was very interesting. And then I really got a kick out of you with Lane Kiffin. It kind of made my day. I'm not a Lane Kiffin fan for obvious reasons because I'm a Tennessee fan, but I just like it when he's on and you two are trying to, you know, connect. It's almost like a comedy.
Susie,
show.
I have a lot of people that always text me. They go, "I mean, it looks like you were so nervous and uptight." That is not what happens. The problem with Kiffin is we get into kind of a routine, and I forget the camera is on. It's because he's so smart. You're trying to play a game with him and see how far you can take him down the road, and it is not easy to do. But it's pretty entertaining.
You do a good job, and actually, it's very entertaining to me to watch you with him. What is he made a comment though? He said that he's lost 15 players to the portal. Am I right with that?
I think so.
How's that gonna? So, what do you think about?
Well, he's also brought in an equal number. It's losing players in the portal is one thing. It's what you bring in to replenish them ultimately decides, and he is considered to be to have had one of the better recruiting portal classes. Hugh Freeze as well. So that's the most important thing there.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I've told you before, I know, you know, Georgia and Bama, they're the strong teams, and LSU, of course, Dwayne. I'll, you know, LSU. But it's, you know, you always want to be competitive. And bring in some players to be competitive. So I hope. What are your thoughts, though, why Saban? Because Saban was so much for the 9 game. Why do you think he changed to 8?
Susie, that is a perplexing question because I don't totally agree. I don't agree with Bratton about – I mean, Nick Saban is not afraid, but he – I think when you lose a game or two and you don't win the championship – you get a little more sensitive, and I think he's also used to getting his way. Until we see the release, some of these questions will be difficult to answer, but I will continue to say what I've said a couple of times. His reversal is the biggest story here. It is not the fact the SEC blinked. The SEC didn't blink. They did not have a consensus, and this league does not move forward unless they are in alignment, because if they don't want to be perceived like the ACC, which was, I mean, the ACC meetings were a train wreck. You had 7 schools talking about getting out, and then they all sung Kumbaya at the end, but nobody believed it. I mean, when we were down there most of the week, there was no contentiousness. There was philosophical disagreement. And I think you have to credit Commissioner Sankey for that. I don't think he was thrilled to get the result, but he also didn't turn it into Armageddon. We didn't go to DEFCON 1. We got out of there, and the only people who are really talking today are the pundits. And I sincerely doubt that anybody in control of this league is overly concerned what a bunch of bloggers are saying about their decision. They feel pretty confident. And they'll get the last laugh here in 12 days when the schedule comes out. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.